Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing.
As we look down the road, metaphorically speaking, automobiles and transportation in general are seeing a disruptive shift the likes of which hasn't come around since the invention of the automobile. To paraphrase what Henry Ford once said, if I had asked people what they wanted, they'd have asked for faster horses. The reality of ride-sharing services and driverless vehicles is shifting the landscape towards fewer automobiles and slowing sales in many categories. Hi there, I'm Hazel Fruitman.
And I'm Kim Stewart. This is the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. We're here today to talk about automobile dealers and where they should be looking to maximize their opportunities to engage with prospects and returning customers in order to book sales and remain relevant.
And first off, let's clarify that we don't believe that auto sales are simply going to disappear.
Speak for yourself.
No, that's unrealistic. In any market, even the European countries that are working to remove internal combustion engine from roadways and see those vehicles parked in museums or garages.
Indeed. We are years away from the mass adoption of driverless vehicles. That's obvious from the pushback in places like, down the street from me, Chandler, Arizona, where people are outright attacking driverless vehicles as some form of what? Frustration relief?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that they don't even make cars in Arizona, but we are seeing all these stories lately about how random people decide to threaten autonomous vehicles, even to the point of one guy pointing a gun at a car.
Yeah, which did, coincidentally, the car had a live human being inside it, since it's not like these vehicles are out roaming around unsupervised at the moment. But the onus is shifting, and people are looking at more purposeful vehicles, even as they are buying them in smaller numbers each year. SUVs and trucks, they seem to be holding their own at the moment. But a number of U.S. automakers have decided to kill the production of sedans and other more traditional car styles in favor of giving the buying public the setup that seems to be popular.
And the price of new cars, I mean, it's crazy now. The average new car price based on the average loan for a new car is roughly $34,000.
U.S. dollars.
U.S. dollars. That's not something that is within range of many people at this point, at least not without some generous financing terms.
Yeah, I know. You know, that means that people are actually keeping their older cars longer. And so the design and manufacturing process now means that, I mean, people could expect to get 250,000 miles, which is 400 and so thousand kilometers in Canada land, out of a new car engine. And you know what? There are a lot of people. They're doing exactly that.
So you own a car dealership and you
see, I don't own a car dealership. No. Do you own a car dealership?
No, I do not.
So if you're listening and you own a car dealership.
Yes. And you see that there are all these factors working against you. What do you do in order to maintain relationships with prospects and customers?
Well, I would say that's a good question. But again, I don't own a car dealership. However, if you start taking disruptive distribution like Carvana, for instance, you know, the guys with the car vending machine stick. I mean, like, we really have a giant demo of a car vending machine in Phoenix right by the airport, just off the... I think I sent you pictures. You know, you couple crazy shit like that with things like Kelley Blue Book now being directly involved into used car sales.
So margins are shrinking. Competition is getting more fierce, and the available pool of buyers is also becoming more of a mud puddle than a pond. Heck, a lot of people under the age of 30 don't even have a driver's license and haven't had one previously.
I know. And then you have to stop and think that the traffic is becoming so unmanageable in metro areas that if you were to decide that you wanted to drive yourself around, you can count on spending hours in the car every day on your commute. This isn't just like, oh, LA traffic is so bad. No, this is like everywhere traffic. And those hours that you're driving, those hours mean that you're sacrificing time that you could be spending on work or pursuing leisure activities or family time or, for God's sake, just fucking posting on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, that's so very true. Don't ask me how long I sat in Toronto traffic to pick you up at the airport this morning at 9 a.m.
Well, that'd be great if I actually had shown up at 9 a.m. Bum, bum. So, anyway, I'm here. Let's go. Yeah, you're right. A doll. I appreciate it. You know that. Before we get too much further into this episode, there are a couple things that I would like to mention first. We do have some previous podcast episodes that are centered around the topic of automobile dealerships and how they can use mobile to market. Episode 55, titled Auto Dealers Optimize Mobile Campaigns. And episode 17, an oldie but a goodie, Auto Dealership Marketing and the Mobile Wallet Ad.
Yes, and you took my line. Two oldies, but still goodies. 17 is actually one of our more popular
episodes.
Did you know that? So yeah. They're very specific in how to organize and lay out a campaign. What sort of targeting and grouping for ideal segments and optimization of your message to those segments. Some of these things don't really change much at all, even if the technology has grown up a little bit in the interim.
Right. So we're going to spend some time today talking about mobile ad campaigns. And again, no surprise. In order for our listeners, especially our new listeners, or those that really haven't paid much attention yet to previous episodes where we detail sort of the inner workings of the mobile ad campaigns, let's take a few minutes, and Hazel, I'm going to ask you to explain the specifics.
Mobile wallet campaigns are incredibly effective marketing collateral when you set them up correctly and implement them in a way that increases engagement with customers, prospects, referrals, and so on. In a nutshell, a mobile wallet campaign consists of a mobile wallet pass that's added to individual phones. iPhones use Apple Wallet, which is native iOS application. And Android phones use any of a number of third-party apps to achieve the same goals. The pass has two sides, the front and the back. The front of the pass is like a digital calling card. It normally has the name of your product or business, perhaps a tagline or logo, and should be styled to complement your existing logo and collateral. We can include a QR code and a barcode on the front of the pass if you're interested in tracking users via the passes, although the tracking default does not contain any personal information unless we have created a customized solution for you. The front of the pass should be designed to get someone's attention, colorful maybe, or with a unique tagline or similar. It requires a very simple, clean design since most phone screens are not that big. The back of the pass is where the magic happens, as I like to call it. And this is the area of the pass where you're really going to be able to get your message out there and include some very efficient calls to action that result in quantifiable results. The structure of the mobile wallet pass means that everything on the back that is formatted in a way that the phone recognizes, like a phone number, an address, a URL, a link to iTunes or YouTube, and so on. Those apps are actually launched when the user taps a link on the back of the pass. What that means in real terms is that if you're promoting your podcast, you can send your subscribers a lock screen notification, and they have the ability to tap the back links, and your podcast will start playing in the correct app, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or whatever. It also means that if you're a realtor, for instance, and you include the address of a property you're promoting, a prospective buyer can tap the address on the back of the pass, launch maps, complete with driving directions. Tap to call, tap to email, tap to launch social media apps like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and others. These are simply handled by the wallet app, and there's no coding or formatting involved. It really couldn't be any easier. Passes can be shared through a variety of means. The most popular method is including the pass URL as a link or in a print ad as a type in request using a browser. Other ways include the share function on the pass, having someone open Apple Wallet or scan the QR code directly, or even sending the pass via iMessages or email from the phone. Last but not least, the passes include location and proximity targeting features, which means that using the geofencing and location awareness that's built into smartphone offers you the ability to send lock screen notifications based on where someone is, as well as sending them time-based or what we like to call static messages. You've probably seen this at the airport if you're having a boarding pass in your Apple Wallet on iPhone, for instance. When you get close to the security screening checkpoint, the boarding pass automatically pops up on your lock screen, and you don't have to search for it or open the app or unlock the phone to see it. So there you have it, the 2-minute rundown on just what and how a mobile pass works, where it goes in the iPhone, and what it can do.
Well, awesome. As always, thanks for clearing that up for everybody.
Yeah, of course. Now let's get down to today's business. You own an auto dealership. Not you, not me, but people do.
I want to own one. No, I don't actually, because sales are shrinking, aren't they?
Yes, they are shrinking. Your real estate cost is going up. Your labor costs are going up. Pretty much everything is moving in a lopsided direction as far as your balance sheet and ROI are concerned. What to do to correct this, or at least staunch the bleeding for the time being?
Whoa, you make that sound like an overwhelming problem without many answers. But I think the reality is that breaking it down into simple steps and creating a plan, you know, a plan with a solid strategy, that kind of thing behind it, that's still the way to get this done.
Now you make everything sound like that is the answer.
That is the answer. So, you know what? Let's start with current customers, the ones who are actually buying vehicles. Whether they are new or used, these people are walking into your dealership or using your online inventory and maybe your online financing, and they are buying inventory out of your stock. Do you just let them buy the car and walk away? Hello?
Yeah,
no, Hazel, I'm asking you if you owned a car dealership. Do you think that sending them postcards or emails is going to keep them engaged? Hell, try to call them. Most people don't even answer their phone anymore because there's so much robocalling and spam going on.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, trying to connect with someone on the phone these days is like playing roulette. You just never can bet on your number coming up and being a winner. And in order to counter this issue, you need to be way more creative in how you market and how you are choosing for engagement points.
Right, like service, okay?
Yeah.
All autos need service. Mind you, they don't need it nearly as much as they used to. Most new vehicles don't even get a checkup, in quotes, in case you missed that in my body language. Until they hit the 100,000 mile mark. I mean, getting customers into... Do you guys have the 100 kilometer?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, but 100 kilometers and 100 miles is...
Yeah, but we do, like, there's service certain...
No, do you have a 100,000 K marker?
Yeah, we do.
That's only 60,000 miles. Oh, my God. Stop. Getting customers into your service plan,
that
is a key to keeping them coming back. There are so many companies that try to offer service contracts outside of manufacturers, and really, if you own a car dealership, you want to keep your customers from going that route. I mean, there's a report. It is a couple years old now, but it's still very relevant. It's from McKinsey, and it's about disruptive trends that will transform the auto industry. We're going to include a link to the full report in the show notes, so don't worry. If you don't know the URL, it's mckinsey.com/industries/automotive/automotive and auto assembly. It's a long, long, long thing. Don't worry about it. You just pop over to dominoresearch.com website, tap the mobile to marketing podcast link, and it'll be in our episode show notes. So one of the points in the report that I want to touch on, new market entrants are expected to target initially only specific economically attractive segments and activities along the value chain before potentially exploring further fields. Now, I could repeat that like 87 times from here to Sunday and it wouldn't make any sense. But what I take to mean is that auto dealers, current automobile dealers with current franchises like Ford and Chevrolet and stuff like that, they're going to have to understand that the Tesla corporations of the world are only going to focus on a segment that is valuable to the Tesla corporations of the world. And they're just going to leave the rest of the pie for everybody else to continue dealing with.
And the actual percentage of that market, the narrow targeting of early adopters and metro area drivers, that's nowhere near the entire market. So if you are in a region that isn't metro driven, you're still ahead of the game for now, but only for now.
Only for now.
And you had better be planning right now how you are going to continue to adapt your sales and service offerings as the market transitions, or you will find yourself with no target demographic left.
Stop. Bad person.
Yeah, which could have been prevented in many cases.
Yep, you know that planning includes being able to locate and engage with your primary customers. And right now, in case you're wondering, the way to do that is via mobile.
It is.
It is. And it's going to continue to be that way to do it as vehicles become more connected over the next few generations of new product. You know, the Kinsey report, not the Sex Kinsey Report, the Kinsey Automobile Report. It also mentions connectivity. We already have connectivity in our cars. They use Bluetooth to hook to our phones and deliver our content. They're separately connected to the outside world, and occasionally they offer Wi-Fi, which is the reverse Bluetooth. And, you know, that kind of brings along the rise of more ride-sharing and shared use of fewer vehicles overall. You know, this connectivity in an auto could very well take over as the mobile hub for users during transportation time.
And here I am nodding my head. Yes, exactly. So if you are connecting with customers and potential customers at the mobile level right now, you can be sure you won't be able to connect with them down the road, so to speak.
Oh, you're trying to be funny.
Yeah. They will already have made choices and have entrenched preferences for where and when they will accept messaging. Not just about auto services, but about almost everything.
I know. You know, the other thing the Kinsey report mentions is that incumbent players, think about incumbent players, that's everybody you know right now, including Tesla, will be forced to compete simultaneously on multiple fronts and cooperate with competitors. If you own a car lot, you're probably shaking your head at this one, thinking about how it can't really be done, or maybe just about how you don't want to do it. But mark my words, you are doing it. Later instead of sooner if you are not a forward thinker, but it is going to happen. Short of a complete Carmageddon worldwide, we are going to see connectivity advance, and with that advancement, competitors will learn to work together to close sales. Or they will see those sales go to others that are willing to sacrifice a little bit in the short term in order to get longer term benefits.
This doesn't mean that you have to partner up with every car dealer in your area. It shouldn't mean that at all.
Nope, not at all.
But it does mean that if you have auxiliary partners that can be utilized for cross-sale or upsell opportunities, the faster you can cement those relationships and start presenting them to customers or prospects as tailor-made, personalized solutions, the better off you will be now and later. Think about outside the box a bit. If you've got other local businesses that are nearby and they might interest your customer base, now is the time to start making deals to help each other promote. Not only does this reduce your dependency on expensive advertising, you are leveraging the power of recommendations instead of just working from ground zero with blind ads.
Wow, you know, it's funny when I hear you say that, I realize that it applies universally, not just in automobile dealers.
Yeah.
So, you can create interesting promotions. They don't have to be a direct benefit or a direct buy at your retail location. Sometimes it's nice to be a customer and just get something nice, something you weren't expecting, something that makes you feel so much more favorably about a company that just handed you an added benefit. It's a very encouraging situation, and the amount of goodwill that it generates is sometimes immeasurable. It goes way beyond remembering birthdays and anniversaries and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, we have two other podcasts, episodes that you're likely going to want to listen to if you have gotten this far with us today. It's a two-parter, and it's Why Mobile Advertising Works. You can find it in the archives, and we break down the details of planning and execution of how a disparate group of merchants band together to create a cohesive engagement campaign to help each other get more foot traffic. It was a smashing success, and these companies are still using the same outline now. If I remember that, they are from New Jersey.
Yes. That's the one.
Yes, and that is episode 34 of Memory Serves. So they've changed up a few things overall, but the best leverage and the cheapest price to increase their ROI and boost sales without having to break the bank on outside advertising.
Yeah, I would agree with Hayes 100%. Listen to those episodes. It's pretty amazing what a little group of retailers who decided it was better to be a small part of a bigger pie accomplished, and how they continue to accomplish this. They could very well be the poster child for marketing and advertising efficiently and successfully in the new economy that we see now.
That's a great way to describe it. They are truly a situation where the sum of their parts is greater than the individual pieces in that pie.
Yeah, I know. We need to do an updated episode with all the things that they have learned in the past couple years about how to work together and what triggers are better than others for engagement and execution.
We do. And with that said, I think we are out of time today. If you are looking for the archives, go to dominoresearch.com and tap the top tab, Mobile Marketing Podcasts. There's also a ton of good articles in there, lots of downloadable materials, how-tos, the whole kit and caboodle.
Yep, and you know, we are also, of course, available to answer questions for you. Drop us a line. You can either choose to use the form on the website, or you can use info@dominoresearch.com. We're more than happy to talk specifics, generalities, plots, plans, world domination, whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, so have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Woo!